Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In this chapter, we have King David's last instructions to the people of Israel and also his last instructions to his son Solomon, the new king of Israel. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my court, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day.' Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." Let's begin our study of this chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, with some background notes. We know from 1 Kings chapter 1 that David was not well during the last year of his life. He continually had the chills and could not keep warm. Furthermore, there was an attempt to take the throne by David's son, Adonijah. David quelled this uprising by installing Solomon as king and co-reigning with Solomon during his last days. In spite of these problems, throughout his final days, David continued his active preparations for the temple that would be built by Solomon. Now, maybe a practical application here is that when you're getting older and not always feeling that great, maybe even getting the chills and not able to keep warm, you can still get a lot of work done. You know, this week I felt a lot like David. Same name, David, same age, 69 years old, and not feeling up to par, even getting chills. As I've mentioned to some of you, I'm on 3 medications for 3 different tick-borne diseases. As a result, I get periodic chills and can't get warm. So what do? Like David, you keep plugging along and try to get well and continue to get as much work done as you can. It's amazing what David accomplished during these last days. He collected money, material, and skilled workmen for the temple project. He organized all the Levites for efficient and effective service in leading the nation in acceptable worship of the Lord, including good music from skilled musicians and talented singers. He made sure the temple treasures and temple precincts would be fully protected. And he organized the civil and military leadership to ensure that Solomon would begin with a stable and peaceful reign in which to build the house of the Lord. And now here in chapter 28, David gives his final instructions and exhortations to his subjects first, and then to his son Solomon. Doctrinal point number 1. There is a divine purpose for the house of God. There is a divine purpose for the house of God. In verses 1 through 8, David assembled together all the who's who of the kingdom and gave them his final state of the kingdom address. Notice from verse 1 who's assembled for this important address. Quite an impressive assembly. In his address, David once again went over how he had wanted to build the house of the Lord, but God said that Solomon was to build the temple. Notice how David began his address in verse 2. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it." Now here in this verse, we have the purpose of the temple. The main purpose of the temple was not for the outside glory and grandeur or to impress other nations, although it did have much glory and grandeur and it did impress other nations, but the main purpose of the temple was to be a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant, because this signified God's presence in the midst of his people. Notice how the mercy seat of the ark is considered the footstool of God in verse 2. In other words, God sitting on his throne and dwelling in the midst of his people. This was the purpose of the temple in the Old Testament. You know, this is the purpose of God's temple today. The temple today is not magnificent religious buildings and cathedrals. No. It is the church, the people of God, and the divine purpose of this worldwide group of true believers is to be a home for the Holy Spirit so that God can dwell in the midst of his people and that we can worship him. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we read, "You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You know, some folks, even some Christians, attend church for the wrong reasons. Some even for social and economic reasons. How tragic. The church, whether it is meeting in a building or home or storefront, is where we worship the Lord together because he dwells in the midst of his people. There is a divine purpose for the house of God. Doctrinal point number 2, there is a divine pattern for the house of God. There is a divine pattern for the house of God. Verses 9 through 21. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service. Also silver for all articles of silver by weight, for all articles used in every kind of service. The weight for the lampstands of gold, and their lamps of gold by weight, for each lampstand and its lamps, for the lampstands of silver by weight, for the lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of the showbread for each table, and silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the forks, the basins, the pitchers of pure gold, and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl, and for all the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl. And refined gold by weight for the altar of incense, and for the construction of the chariot, that is the gold cherubim that spread their wings and overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you, until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and every willing craftsman will be with you for all manner of workmanship, for every kind of service. Also the leaders and all the people will be completely at your command. In verse 8, David concluded his address to the nation with the exhortation to follow the Lord in all of his commandments. Just building the temple would not result in blessing if they did not obey the Lord. Now David turned to his son Solomon to give the new king of Israel his last instructions as king and father. In these last instructions to Solomon, not only did David exhort his son to follow the Lord with a whole heart and willing mind, verse 9, and not only did David challenge his son to be strong and courageous, verses 10 and 20, but David also gave Solomon all the plans and patterns for the temple that the Lord had given him directly. Look at verse 19 once again. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works or details of these plans. Notice, all this, that is down to the last detail, was given to David by the Lord himself. David did not dream up on his own the architectural designs of the temple. And David did not just decide to divide up the priests and Levites into divisions and create a praise band for music on his own initiative. And David did not just come up with the idea to put two giant golden cherubim in the Holy of Holies to spread their wings over the Ark of the Covenant. No, all the details of this pattern were from the Lord. There was a divine pattern for the house of God. There is a divine pattern for the house of God today. Not only does God's pattern for the church show what spiritual gifts God has provided, but God knows where every single part fits in the body of Christ. Furthermore, the divine pattern includes the divine way of worship in the house of God today. There is to be no special class of priests today because all believers are priests, and as such can publicly worship the Lord without the need of a human priest. There is no special class called clergy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26 says, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. This is all part of the divine pattern for worship in the house of God. There is a divine pattern for the house of God. And now for practical application from 1 Chronicles chapter 28. If you seek him, you will find him. If you seek him, you will find him. Look once again at the end of verse 9. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. What great counsel for David to give his son Solomon, and what great counsel for parents to give their children today. If you seek him, you will find him. It's wonderful truth for everyone. God knows our thoughts and our hearts. You can't hide anything from God. But the good news is that God sees every heart that is seeking him. No one who is seeking God will ever be disappointed. Let me ask you, are you seeking God? If you seek him, you will find him.